everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show, as always. With me today is the author of the negotiation book, Nicole Soames. How are you today, Nicole?
Really good, thank you.
It's great to have you here in the studio, and I'm very glad that you've joined us for today's episode. And for those listening, Nicole is a highly qualified coach and EQ practitioner. She is the founder and CEO of Diadem, which deals with commercial skills training and coaching. So my first question for you, Nicole, is what inspired you to become an author?
So it's always been on my bucket list to write a book. And apparently they say that everyone has a book in them, whoever they might be, I don't know. But I've been in the business of helping people for a number of years. And in the commercial setting particularly, I thought that writing a book was a great way to help even more people with a topic that I think many, many find really, really difficult. And what happens when I run all the workshops that I do is I see people go on a journey. And what happens is when they learn these new skills and then they go away and they apply them to their everyday world, they recognise that it works. And I find watching that journey for individuals really rewarding. So I thought, if I can put this in a book, I can help more people do that. So that was a lot of the inspiration behind writing the book. But I'm also a big believer in fate. And actually, I went to one of the other book launches from the Concise Advice series, Dr. Martin Newman's book, and got talking to your publishing team. And they talked to me about what I did. And they said, we'd love someone to write the negotiation book. So all of the stars aligned. And here I am today talking to you about the negotiation book.
Great. And now going on to the book, negotiation is something we do almost all the time, sometimes even subconsciously, whether it is in our professional or in our personal life. How come are we not more consciously aware of this? Why is it happening?
So that is such an interesting concept. And I believe that a lot of this is down to do with the fact that, especially in a commercial setting, hardly anyone has the word negotiation in their job title.
Yes. That is true.
Okay, so unless, of course, you're a hostage negotiator, I can't think of many other titles that people have. They have sales manager, they have marketing manager, but rarely do people have the title a negotiation manager. Even if you're in a buying function, people are called procurement. They're not called negotiators. So I think that's part of the challenge. I think the other challenge is that when I ask people what's the last occasion that you negotiated, they go, well, let me think, when I last bought a car or a house. So they associate it with a personal purchase for themselves. Or if I push them a bit further, they say, well, there was the time in the market when I was haggling or bargaining. Okay, so they sort of see it as either something they do personally on a one-off occasion or something they do in the market, in a market when they're haggling. And neither of those are particularly everyday things that you do. And actually that's the irony, because as you rightly say, we do it every day at home with our family and certainly in business every day in meetings. And that means to me it's a communication skill. So I think those are some of the challenges. I think the other issue is that a lot of people, and this isn't everybody, but a lot of people don't like talking about money.
Yes.
So negotiation tends to be about closing down a deal, agreeing the terms and conditions, and that tends to either be the financial part of the conversation and then sometimes the harder part of the conversation. So you've got the two things at play. People don't like talking about money, and most people don't like having a difficult conversation. And if they're in that sort of scenario and setting, they're probably trying to establish a relationship with someone. So then you've got the relationship piece at play. So because people want to build relationships with people and their counterparts, they think that and they believe that when they talk about money, it's going to upset them.
Yes. And actually, that's a very interesting topic. And before we move on, there's something there that you said, and I find that very fascinating. And it's the idea of having a difficult conversation and then including money. So I think this is a, perhaps that's my opinion, but I think this is quite a cultural thing. Because when it comes to negotiation, you see, I have a great example of going on holiday. And that was in Turkey. It was a few years ago, but what happened is over there, see, you're expected to negotiate when it comes to business. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, it's quite insulting, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. You will be kind of looked at very weirdly if someone says, well, this is how much I want, mm-hmm. and say, okay, that's fine. Mm. You're expected to negotiate and you're expected to show interest, not just going forward with the transaction. But I've often found that over here in the West, we have a very closed off relationship when it comes to these sort of interactions. Mm. And do you think that perhaps our culture feeds into why, you know, this is a difficult topic to discuss?
I think there's some cultural aspects to it, but I actually think it's a people and a behavioral thing more than it's a cultural thing. I think
right.
people don't like talking about money. And the irony is that actually the negotiation itself is a massive buying signal. And it indicates that the selling part of the conversation is over and that we're ready to get closure.
It's to move on.
To yep. move on and to actually say yes so that you can implement and get the value from whatever it is you're buying or selling. But so I suppose the cultural stuff does have an impact, but it also comes down to, well, hang on a second, what do we mean by negotiating?
Right.
And it's a huge umbrella topic. And sometimes people are confused by what negotiation actually is. Mm. And they don't understand. So the bits that they might find harder is the gameplay part or the asking part. But it's actually a communication skill in a conversation. And sometimes it's the process bit they don't get and they're stuck in that. So there's so much complexity
right,
to this
right.
topic.
Why do you think that happens? Why do you think, I mean, we established that this is a communication
yes.
Process. But then we get into the issue of miscommunication where
sure.
people don't actually understand that it is a communication process. Mm. Why do you think that is happening?
I think that happens because, and you may have heard of this term before, but communication skills are often called soft skills.
Right, yeah.
And because it's communication, it falls under that heading, I think, of being a soft skills communication technique process, if you like. And skills can be learned. The irony for me, and I find a lot of irony in negotiating, but the irony for me is, soft skills aren't soft, they are hard. They are really hard
yes.
to acquire because they involve people and agendas and emotions, and people make buying decisions and judgments based on how they feel. So this is what I believe makes negotiating really complicated, because you've got the communication skill part and the relationship part and the emotions part. And I think to be a really skilled negotiator, you have to have a huge amount of emotional intelligence.
Right. And that feeds into my next question. And that's the idea of mindset. And that seems to be key when it comes to any sort of negotiation. Because if you go in with the wrong idea, with the wrong mindset, or even the wrong expression, it can often leave very negative vibes. People can get turned off without you even realizing that you've done something wrong. How do we hone ourselves to get the most out of a negotiation process?
It's another great question, because mindset has a massive impact. How you feel, and actually even being aware of how you feel, has a big impact on the levels of preparation and how much ambition you have and how much you're going to ask for. And when I ask people who they think the toughest negotiator that they know is, they often go, well, Nicole, you are. And I actually bounce it straight back to them and say, the person that you'll have the toughest negotiations with is actually yourself.
Yeah.
And it's very normal human condition that we talk ourselves down. We justify to ourselves, well, things like the market is soft, Brexit, the economy, you know, we're not doing so well, inflation, I can't get my pricing away. So all of that noise or head chatter is almost a way of subconsciously justifying, well, it's okay if I set myself a lower ambition. So a massive part of honing your mindset before a negotiation is at least being aware of that head chatter for a start. Do you even know it's going on? And then focusing your attention on, well, hang on a second, instead of what can't I do, what can I do? And I think it's a Henry Ford quote that says, well, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're probably right.
You're probably right, yeah.
So honing that part of your mindset and being appropriately ambitious for the situation, I think, is really key. So you've got to get in control first of your mindset. And all of this stuff is EQ, it's emotional intelligence. And the other thing that I say regularly to people is, and I use a lot of sporting analogies, before people are about to go and play a rugby match or a football match or something like that, there tends to be a team chat in the changing rooms before they go on the pitch. And so what I try and help people do is recognize that if you actually talk yourselves up before, talk yourself personally up before you go on the pitch, imagine you're doing the negotiator's hucker. Think of yourself winning and get yourself into the mentally right space so you're confident about what it is you're asking for, you're confident about how you feel about going into the negotiation, you're going to impact your results. And I think that mindset prep is fundamental. And you know what? Most people don't prepare that. They Yep. prepare the commercials and that's it.
Yeah, and also to add on to that, I think another very important aspect is actually your physical well-being to go with your mindset. You see, for me, what really sticks out in my experience, I found, is the worst time to make a decision or go into a negotiation or do anything is when I'm hungry, when I'm tired, when I'm sleepy. If I'm not at a level where I feel optimum to actually take on a challenge, it you're playing against odds which are now negatively stacked against you.
Absolutely.
So a very important aspect, I think, for me personally, when it comes to negotiating and decision making, is actually making sure that you're balanced enough to make the right call. I mean, how many times have we gone, you know, in a restaurant when we're very hungry and we've ordered everything on the menu only to realize that two starters in, you probably shouldn't have. So that is a very key aspect there that you've touched upon. And I want to expand on that with my next question. And that is, why do we undersell? Or in your words, why do we weak speak? Why does this happen?
I think the root cause of weak speak, well, there's two parts really. Part of the cause is that people aren't ambitious enough and they set themselves these lower targets so they can justify that it was okay that they didn't deliver. So as soon as you're thinking like that, you're hedging your bets. And when that's how you feel, it's likely to come out in your communication when you verbalize what it is you want. And if you give that impression to the other person, you don't sound confident. You're almost opening yourself up to, it's like, hi, the shop's open. I'm ready for you to undermine and take some more off my position. I think that's part of the challenge for people, is that being in control of their mindset and their ambition levels. I think the other real challenge with weak speak, what I call weak speak, is actually people aren't prepared. So the negotiation happens almost at them when they weren't expecting it. So unless there's a formal set piece negotiation, and this comes back to what we were talking about before, where it's prevalent in everyday conversations, negotiating, it's just happening all around you. And if you're not ready, people think aloud. And when you're thinking aloud, phrases like, I was sort of thinking that maybe we maybe could move forward in a position like this. And it's all super vague. And if you sound vague,
you lose confidence. The other person will lose confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is the idea of being reactive instead of being proactive.
Absolutely.
And I think once you get into a state of reactiveness, there's no way for you to take initiative.
Yeah.
And if you're in a position of negotiating, well, first of all, the other person will very well take advantage of that because now they have a controlling role instead of you.
And I think sometimes people don't do that even intentionally, subconsciously. If somebody projects themselves as more subservient, so if one person's the master in the conversation and the other person's the servant, unfortunately, even if the master is the nicest person in the world, most people, especially in a commercial setting, won't be able to help themselves but take advantage of the other person's weakness.
Yeah, I think that's a part of just human aspect.
Totally.
And
that's why it's not always cultural.
Right. There we go.
There you go.
And so, as we're on the topic, can you tell us a bit about what negotiation gameplay is and how do we deal with it?
So I believe that negotiation gameplay is the unfair use of tactics or curveballs designed to put the other person on the back foot. That's what I think it is. And given that typically when you're negotiating, you're probably talking about polarizing agendas, and you're trying to reach agreement with polarizing agendas, one party is likely to, you know, think of yourself as a child. When you want to get your own way, you stamp your foot and you make false claims or guilt trip your parent into thinking that you definitely need this new phone, and everybody else has got it. And I think people do that either consciously or unwittingly to get their own way in a negotiation. And that's what I mean by gameplay. And often people find this part of the conversation the hardest part. So it could be badged as a difficult conversation. And it's only difficult because they're putting these curveballs in the way to stop you achieving what you want to achieve. And I think the challenge is sometimes people don't know they're doing it, or people do it in a very power play way, and it's very intimidating. But it does take two to tango. And depending on your personality type and depending on how you feel about the negotiation, you may be giving as good as you get. And so awareness is really key. You need to know, am I doing it myself to the other person, or am I having it done to me, and therefore I need to get back in control and handle it? And the thing is, if you don't deal with the other person's gameplay or their tactics or their curveballs, in an unsaid way, you're saying it's okay for you to behave like that towards me.
Right. And I think at that point, it will turn into manipulation.
Correct.
Or you could say coercion in the soft speak. But I would say in a business sense, I've definitely, you know, seen it devolve into simply manipulating someone into getting what the other person wants.
Yeah. And in a way, it's almost, I suppose, in a negotiation, you can't blame the manipulator.
Yes.
If the person being manipulated is allowing it to happen. So the challenge, I think, when you're negotiating is to recognize all this stuff going on and then not react, but respond appropriately, so that actually you can move all of this gameplay out of the way and get on with the negotiation. So none of that is actually the negotiation, but it's the gameplay. And what's really fascinating and interesting to me is that if you can enjoy that part of the negotiation, because, and that's why I call it gameplay, if you can enjoy the game, then you're likely to get better at it. And the better you get at it,
The more you'll get out of
your negotiations, because you'll get on with the task at hand.
Yeah. And actually something you touched upon there, which is the idea of react, don't respond. And that feeds
other
back.
Way, respond, don't.
Respond, don't react. See, they, it is Friday and I think I'm a bit out of the loop. But I do actually want to touch upon that, because that's very important. Sometimes, as we talked about before, our emotional intelligence and our state of mind and well-being play a very important part in this. So if we get a reaction or a response from someone who we might not agree with initially, I think it's human for us to immediately be defensive.
Correct.
It is a human instinct to be fearful and to not understand something which you haven't wrapped your head around.
Correct.
And I think that can actually play a very important part in the negotiation, because it all starts off with something and it feeds back into that initial reaction. And if you respond and not react,
correct.
Yeah, got it right this time,
yeah.
you will set up the stage. And as you say, that's where the game will roll out from there.
Absolutely. And if you're not ready for those curveballs, the likelihood is, because there's so much going on in this communication, the likelihood is you are going to defensively respond. And defensive responses give credibility to the manipulation.
Yes.
And you, again, unwittingly undermine yourself. And even if you're not feeling it, the other person will think, either consciously or subconsciously, aha, that worked.
Yeah. Okay, then.
I'll do it again in another way. And this is where you end up almost in verbal ping pong and a difficult conversation. Conflict. And most people don't like conflict. So then you get fight or flight.
Yes. And to wrap everything up that we've talked about, what is your perception of a good negotiation? I mean, you're at the end of it. What do you think both parties should get out of it in terms of going away and saying, this worked out fine?
That is a complicated question, because already I'm imagining the listeners are thinking of various scenarios they find themselves in. And I think that's part, again, of the complexity of negotiating. It's so situationally different, and therefore situationally winning, or what good looks like, will differ each time. I think negotiations that are concluded in such a way where both parties have, because both parties can't always win, so it's actually almost Walter Mitty-ish to think that both parties can win, but you have to be in control of where you are in that situation and know whether it's working for you or it's not. And you don't have to agree to things. There's always another way forward, even if it's not with that negotiation, it may be with another one. So what good looks like is complicated, and it differs in each situation. And if the negotiation is not working for you, you need to do something about that, whether it's change the setting, change the scenarios, or in fact, as a last resort, walk away.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as a last resort, not as a threat. So that's what good looks like. And there's nothing worse than feeling, walking away from the negotiation at closure and feeling like you've been conned. And if you think it's about relationships and communication and ongoing business or whatever the scenario, you don't want to feel like that. And what tends to happen is people feel like that, someone else will take the pain somewhere further down the line. So it's very difficult to describe what good looks like, because it's very situational. But I think what good looks like is being in control, being well prepared, knowing how you're going to improve next time, making sure that you are building relationships in an appropriate way. I think that's what constructs a good negotiation.
Great, perfect. That is a very sound advice there. And to wrap up, I'd like to ask you the question I ask everyone that comes on the podcast, and is, what are you currently reading?
I'm actually reading the book called the book by James Kerr called The Legacy, which is, I'm quite fascinated by sport, and I mentioned the haka earlier, and that obviously is done by the All Blacks rugby team. And I love the psychology and the culture behind the Maori culture and the All Blacks, and how it is that they sustain their winning performance. So that's the book I'm reading at the moment. It's very inspirational. I highly recommend it.
Great. For our listeners, if you'd like to actually check it out, we'll put a link in the description below, where you can go and you can find out more about the mentality of the All Blacks. But with that, I would like to thank you very much, Nicole, for joining us today on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thank you.
And of course, for those listening, if you would like to know more about what we talked about today, links in the description below will be there to provide you with information when it comes to the book, about the work that Nicole and her team does. And once again, we would like to thank you very much for joining us on this week's episode of Lid Radio, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.